Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Boys.
Thomas.
Tom.
Very exciting news at the top of the episode.
We have a Patreon. I don't know if people know this.
Yeah.
We just thought we'd have a chat about it at the start of today's episode.
I didn't know about it.
You didn't know we had a Patreon. What did you think all that extra content we've been recording has been for, Sean?
I was hanging out with my friends.
You can hang out with us too for $5 a month. You get a whole bunch of extra bonus content. I'm talking small screen scares. We've got chasers. What else we got over there, boys? Well, not you, Sean, because you don't know, because you're recording it.
Sean's like, shit, what have they recorded me saying? We've got Sean just making lunch. We've got Sean on the toilet. We've got Sean doing all
this. No, it's some good stuff over there. All of our sort of bonus episodes that we do, plus a few more extra things, some RPGs, maybe a certain detective, maybe a book club. Who can say? I can say. That's all there.
That's all coming. Plus, we've even got our stretch goals of an audio commentary for John Carpenter's The Thing. And very soon, we'll also have Sean Carney delivering us a movie maintenance on the Underworld franchise.
Oh, baby.
Fuck, if that's not worth those five little dollars, I don't know what is.
There's a fearful one dangling there too, if we get enough people that we're going to do a seance.
Oh, shit.
That's, why'd you agree to that?
Why'd you suggest it? You know I've got 30 seconds of courage.
It's true.
Damo's fault though. I don't know what his excuse
was.
Yeah,
I know. Madness? I don't know. I was just with my boys. I was having a good time.
Capitalize on Sean's bravery, Damo's madness, and my stupidity. $5 a month, patreon.com/scaredyboys. You can get all that good stuff. Here's an actual episode. Thanks, boys.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Home of comedy,
culture,
adventures,
and ghosts.
Hello and welcome to Scaredy Boys, a podcast where three cowardly friends discuss horror movies. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Tom.
And for this episode, we watched Evil Dead Rise. Evil Dead Rise is a 2023 American supernatural horror film written and directed by Lee Cronin and is the fifth installment in the Evil Dead film series. It follows three siblings who find an ancient vinyl that gives birth to bloodthirsty deadites that run amok in a Los Angeles apartment building and thrust them into a primal battle for survival as they face the most nightmarish version of family imaginable. And speaking of nightmarish families, we have our dear brother from the Sans Pants family, it's Joel Dusha.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. And also, if my voice sounds fucked, it's because I've been reading a book I found out loud, so loudly.
Oh, no.
I knew when I walked in here and I could see that POV camera coming straight at me, someone had done something stupid and that was saying those words out loud.
Yeah, I found it. I found it and I said them.
One of the three.
One of the three
which
books.
Which this movie alludes to. Is this the first time?
Well, you own one, don't you, Joel?
I do own one. One of the Necromicons.
Yeah,
fucking psycho.
This isn't the first time. We'll get into it, Tom.
Okay.
Is this your favorite franchise?
Of all time.
Yeah.
It's
up there,
tricky. It's my favorite horror franchise, definitely.
Yeah. How does Evil Dead rate for you amongst that franchise?
How does Evil Dead Rise rate?
Sorry, Rise, yeah.
Oh, that's also tricky. I feel very positively towards Evil Dead Rise, but it might be my least favorite of them.
Okay.
But also,
that doesn't mean it's not a bad movie.
No, it's still like I would watch it again at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
It's like saying, like saying words that I don't have.
Started a sentence, no idea where it was going.
How Return of the Jedi in the original Star Wars trilogy is a lot of people's least favorite movies, but like of the trilogy. Yeah, but right. It's unreal. Or Two Towers and Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Or Tom, Geelong have won how many premierships in your lifetime?
Four.
Yeah. They're not all, like, you like them all, one of them's your least favourite.
Yep.
And if you like this talk, you can hear more footy talk and Tom's arrogance at How Good's Footy, new episodes every Wednesday.
Mm. If you think I'm dumb on this, holy shit.
Wasn't talking about dumb, talking about arrogant. Extreme arrogance.
Well, it's one of those things where when people rank, I've noticed it particularly with like Scream, the new Scream coming out, people are ranking the franchises. New Fast and Furious coming out, people are ranking their Mission Impossible.
Like ranking
people,
the movies within the franchise, you mean? Yes, or ranking
the movies within the franchises. Sure. But even it's like, with something like Evil Dead, it's like, yeah, there's going to be one at the end, but that doesn't mean it's, like, it's the weakest of,
you
like,
love
whatever
the whole
it is,
franchise.
But they're all very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not Tokyo Drift.
No.
Although Tokyo Drift, I've seen a lot of Fast and Furious lists pop up recently. Tokyo Drift is usually bang in the middle now.
Yeah, okay.
That's fucked up.
People hate 4.
Yeah, 4's the worst one.
Which it is.
It's because 3 is very much, if you go back and you watch it now, if you watch Tokyo Drift now, not only does it feel like a fucking, you've stepped into a time machine, it's also got a lot of charm and stuff that...
Here's the thing. Tokyo Drift is bad. I watched it about 2 years ago in a marathon.
But Han's there.
Han's great. Han is great. Mm. The lead guy cannot act.
Luke is black.
The movie is so horny for teenage girls.
I think there was a period of like those Hollywood movies where that just was a thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it's good.
Disgusting. Oh, it's never good. Disgusting.
There's like 3 upskirt shots of what is supposed
in
to be
the first
teenage
5
girls.
Minutes.
In the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's a bad movie.
Okay.
Yeah. Also,
okay.
I don't give a fuck about Han. I'm just going to say that.
Whoa. So when everyone said justice for Han, you said, shut up, cunts.
Yeah, I said, I don't care about that movie. I don't care.
Yeah.
I only care when Dwayne was inserted into it.
You love it when Dwayne gets inserted.
I used to love it. I don't really love it as much anymore.
Oh, okay. You want him to pull out a bit more?
Yeah,
or?
I want him to pull out.
Yeah, okay.
You know what he needs to do to get people back on side?
Come back to Fast and Furious?
That, or he needs to do an Evil Dead and go through a Bruce Campbell just brutal smackdown.
Ooh. Keep Dwayne Johnson away from anything I want.
Keep his name out the fucking franchise's
mouth. I was trying to help Damo out.
Yeah, okay.
That is a disgusting...
Yeah, it is. Oh. It's gross, but Joel, Evil Dead. So have you watched the TV show they did as well?
Yeah.
Is that called Ash vs. The Evil Dead?
Yeah, Ash vs. Evil Dead. I haven't seen all of it. I haven't seen
That's well the received, though, right?
Last season, yeah.
Yeah.
Lucy Lawless?
Lucy Lawless is in it.
Lucy Lawless is in it.
He's in it.
Bruce Campbell. Yeah, he plays the titular Ash.
Bruce Campbell's in Evil Dead Rise.
Bruce Campbell's in all the Evil Dead movies.
He's the priest, the voice of the priest.
He's not the voice of the priest. We'll get into that as well.
It says it in the credits.
No, he's not a priest.
Tom, shut the fuck up. Damo, how many Evil Deads have you seen?
He's not the priest, Tom. Sorry, there's a fact, but it's not that he's a priest.
In the credits, it says priest.
Mm.
Yeah, we'll get to it, Tom.
I've seen 2.
So you've seen the 2013 one and this
I've seen every one that Joel Dusher has made me watch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've seen
the original first 2. I haven't seen the TV show and Army of Darkness.
Yeah, you'll be surprised at the tone of those considering the
I'm not going to be surprised by Army of Darkness because I know what I'm in for.
It's basically fucking Looney Tunes.
Yeah. Sam Raimi.
Yeah.
Which on Sam Raimi, it's very clear that Lee Cronin loves Sam Raimi. This is real Raimi action about it. More so than Evil Dead 2013.
Lee Cronin got interviewed by Letterboxd asking what his top 4 favorite films of all time are, and Evil Dead 2 was one of them.
Yeah. Well, they actually worked together on a TV series.
Oh, really?
Was Raimi also a producer on Hole in the Ground, Lee Cronin's other movie?
Possibly.
Which isn't that good, but it's got some interesting ideas, but it's quite boring.
I don't know if he's a producer, but like he and Campbell were big fans of it because they like handpicked Cronin to make this. So.
Well, they worked together on 50 States of Fright, which is a streaming series.
Right. Yeah.
So Raimi and Cronin worked together, and that's basically Raimi handpicked him to then...
And was like, I'm going to give you the exploding eyeball. And he exploded that eyeball.
He said, I'll take that, I thank you.
I'll put it in that kid's mouth.
I haven't seen what he did in that series, but was it Hole in the Ground?
It's got Hole in the Ground.
I've heard about it, though, and I've heard it's quite sort of boring and stilted camera work and like the opposite of what you think of when you think of Sam Raimi.
Interesting.
Sort of kinetic energy.
It's
and
got...
And this, Rise, is very
It's got interesting ideas, but it's also from that period of like, it's like a 2015 film, I think, and it's very much like... Because that's around the time of like that elevated horror genre.
The Babadook kind of.
Yeah. It's very much like that.
I think Rise is crazy, but not Raimi crazy.
No, it's not. There's 2 bits in it that I like watching it.
I think the 2013 movie is crazier than Rise.
Oh, I think so too. Like these 2 know this. I didn't want to watch this in the cinema.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was very fucking annoyed at both
of them. You worked pretty hard.
You were furious with us.
Yeah. I was furious.
That fury came through the chat.
Can you reveal that when I said, no, we need to see it in cinema, that you didn't talk to me for like the next 12 hours and I was messaging you and
probably
I just
longer.
Gone to sleep.
Probably longer.
Just ignored me for a day.
Yeah, happily ignored him.
Yeah.
Damo got the tickets. And normally we have a bit of a thing where, like, if someone's got the tickets and we send money, we do some sort of funny, like, you know, when you got to have write a reference for what the money is. Mm. I just wrote money, full stop.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, I did see that.
You did see it?
I did see it.
You knew. Sean's
Tom,
a bit pissed.
Tom
still.
Did a funny one.
Yeah.
Sean, money.
Just wrote money. Didn't want to watch this in the cinema.
Yeah.
I just, because we watched the one that you made as well,
the 2013 one. Yeah.
And it's just, more so than it being scary, it's just very yuck.
Yeah.
It's very gory.
The
and I'm
2013
like, do I want to watch 2 hours of this in a cinema?
It's unrelenting, the 2013 one.
Yeah, this wasn't as gory.
No.
Still yuck.
It's still that same Evil Dead thing that once the book is read and the Deadites are here, it has a couple of moments where you get to catch your breath, and then it just comes out, like it pummels you for a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you're catching your breath, you're catching your breath being like, all right, what the fuck's going to happen now?
Yeah.
The opening of this movie also, I think, leads people into a false sense of security. It definitely happened with me, which is, so first of all, I mean, there's also a thing
we'll
that happens
there.
After that where you're like, oh no. So it's got a cold open with a group of teens at a cabin. And things have gone wrong. One of the people there is sick. And if you're familiar with Evil Dead,
when you're sick,
she's not sick. She's a deadite.
Yeah. Mm.
And she scalps her friend. And the scalping, not that bad.
Oh no. Pretty bad.
That's scary voice, Joel. Yeah. We can say this.
Look, that was yuck.
It was bad. Yuck.
I was in charge of M&M distribution.
Yep.
And after every fucked thing, when we had a chance to breathe, I was handing out
M&Ms. We got some M&Ms.
Yep. See,
that
I
was
think
an
that,
M&M moment.
I think that, like, the shot of it happening and, like, the fact you know what's about to happen is way worse than, because you see that character, it doesn't kill them. They're standing up later and they don't have the top of their head.
Yuck.
It's yuck, but it's not that violent. Like, it's nowhere near gory as it could have been.
The shot of the hair coming back is disgusting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't expect to have to witness that.
Yeah. I didn't think that would go that hard that early.
It was early and she just grabs her ponytail. I wasn't thinking, oh, she's about to get scalped.
I thought she was going to, like, drag her or something.
Yeah. Give me a drag across the floor.
No.
Not that.
No, tore it off like Velcro.
I know that you've only discussed the first one of this series on this podcast, Scaredy Boys, where you can get new episodes every Friday. You'd know that because you're listening currently.
Yeah,
but Saw movies do a thing where they usually put the most fucked kill at the very start of the movie.
Yeah, okay.
And so it kind of like warms you up for what's going to happen. And I thought this was kind of doing that, but what happens later in the movie is way worse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It went big. Mm. I got to say, so this movie started and we get that classic Evil Dead shot of like the camera running through.
Yeah.
And I did lean over to Tom and say, I am glad we're watching this in a cinema because it does feel like
It's cinema.
It's trying cool camera moves.
Also, the sound design is
sound design psycho, as you would expect.
Yeah.
What I want to point out, what I love, is the opening title.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great shot.
Gorgeous,
and not
man.
Enough.
Yeah.
Like, I was thinking today about movies that have, like, really memorable, just a huge one that takes up the screen and is, like, a great moment.
Yeah.
And all I could really think of was, like, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where that title pops
right.
up. Like, movies don't take advantage of the title enough.
Sick-ass title card.
Go huge.
Yeah,
this one did it. The whole shot was awesome.
It was great. Even the fact that the title was reflected in the water.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
The whole shot
fucking
is
awesome.
Incredible.
And even, like, again, great title. One, Evil Dead Rise. Yep. Evil Dead is rising again. Fantastic. Wonderful. Starts with a girl rising out of water. Beautiful. Love it. We're in a high rise.
Oh,
Lee,
shit.
You genius. I love it.
Also, another genius move is that you see this fuck scalping and characters you don't know. They're in a cabin. Then you get the title card and then it fades to black. And then one day earlier comes up and you're like, what the fuck?
That's a big choice because I hadn't watched the trailers for this. So I just assumed I knew it was like this
we're
family.
In a cabin?
Yeah.
I assumed the family was going to go on a little trip to a cabin or something. Yeah. And I'd even forgotten, like, because it comes up with one day earlier. The family are talking about how they're going to have to move soon or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, oh, here we go. They're going to move to a cabin. I'm like, of course not, because we're seeing what happened before that.
Yeah.
I just was expecting cabin.
Yeah.
So I was just thrown off balance. The movie got me.
Well, like, even the opening, I think it was great because it basically is like, we're going to give you your normal Evil Dead in, what, 5-10 minutes, if that.
Yeah.
We've got friends. We've got cabin. The cabin even has that. It's not A-frame cabin. It looks a bit fucked already.
Yeah.
Even that shot where it looks like the ground's warped around it as well.
Yeah. It's great. And then, it cuts to. And even the family element, I was like, oh, fuck. I hadn't watched the trailer either.
Didn't expect that.
And I was like, oh, shit, we're in a bit trouble here because the way these movies go is like, here is our people, now watch them slowly, like, get one by one.
Can I answer that too, Joel? You're an expert on the franchise. It's generally like, maybe you get one that you like, but there's usually like, he's a fuckhead, she's a bit fucked. So there's almost a sick, that horror movie pleasure of like, oh, something fucked's happening to that fuckhead.
So the first, like, The Evil Dead, the first one, tries to establish the characters. In fact, Ash, very clearly, when they were filming, it wasn't the main character until about halfway through production, I don't know. Because he has nothing to do for a while.
His charisma took over, though.
I think it's Sean.
It was also shooting schedules, I think, that were like, fuck it. Because in the short film that I haven't seen, that the original Evil Dead is based off that Raimi made. Yeah, Bruce Campbell gets killed. Like, he's killed, like, first or second.
He's a himbo.
Yeah.
He's not supposed to last.
It's funny that so Ash is a nerd in the first one, and then they eventually just make him, like, the dumbest fuck.
It's good.
Also the coolest man.
Yeah.
I will say that the thing you're talking about, like, family, and, like, yes, you like Ash. Like, he's...
You kind of like... you like... Not... Fucking, not David. He's the one you hate the most in the 2013 one.
The lead in the 2013 one. You empathize the brother, with the plot.
Mia's brother.
That's yeah.
No, who's the...
Culkin. Is that who you're thinking of?
I'm thinking of... there's
David's the brother.
So David's the brother. So you like David. I'm thinking of the long-haired fuck that really cops it.
He's a Culkin, isn't he?
He deserves to cop it. Yeah. I don't think he is a Culkin.
He looks like a Culkin. Yeah. He should be a Culkin.
He deserves to, which I think characters in this, like...
Oh,
it's almost like, this is really mean. Mm. No one deserves to. I invest in the family because they all love each other and they're all really nice. Yes.
They're trying. They're trying so hard.
And look, maybe because you haven't seen all the Evil Dead movies, although you've seen all of the horror ones.
I've seen the Raimi 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I've seen everything except the third Army of Darkness. Yeah, which isn't
going
to... I should say this because to counter what you said before, this is my favorite of the Evil Dead
movies.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I love it, though.
But you love Evil Dead 2.
Actually, fuck, that is really good.
It's a different style of movie.
Yeah.
Emotionless.
This one's chock-a-block with heart.
This has got too much heart.
Yeah.
Well, that's
what
I was going to
rip it out, Sean, and eat it.
So rude.
I assumed that pretty much in the introduction of the family, you get two adults, three kids, and then you meet random people from other rooms.
Yeah,
and I was like, okay, well, obviously the kids are fine because horror movies usually leave the children alone.
Yeah.
I was wrong.
Incorrect.
Yeah.
What if we gave one of the most fucked up moments in the movie to one of the kids, i.e. eating glass?
Yeah.
She cops the experience that really her brother deserves.
Yeah.
I mean, he cops it too, but like...
Does he get stabbed through the head or is that...
I just remember her stuff is way worse than his.
Because he turns faster than she does. And when she's turning... They're like, oh no, like she'll be okay.
You get that great shot too once she's gone down where he puts the blanket over her because he felt like that's what he had to do to tie her up. And then the mum's crawling in the vents and the other two siblings walk out and just she follows them and they don't know. And it is the most fucking terrifying shot of a person clearly just wearing a blanket.
Yeah,
I don't know why that's so chilling, but it is.
It should be really silly.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's an effective movie.
Yeah, she's the one who gets stabbed by the little
girl. Yeah.
Yeah. She stabs her in the head and then...
She cops it big time.
She cops
it,
but she's already dead at that point.
Yeah.
She's already been... Oh, she gets set on fire as well.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Can I say, the littlest girl...
Yeah.
Should have died.
Whoa! Oh,
no, because...
You're a dog!
No, think about it. How are you going to live with that?
Oh, yeah.
With what she's saying.
You're a piece of shit.
No, Tom, it's better in this movie universe that she didn't
No.
No, she's suffered too much.
Her aunt gets to practice being a mum before she's a mum now.
She's about to get another family member. It's fine. She'll forget.
They're okay.
She's young enough to forget.
They have baby. They have
young enough to forget. No.
She's like,
Sean, you put stuff in your egg from like last week.
Some stuff can't fit in an egg, mate.
There's a lot of blood to go in that egg. Can I say, they've got a perfect family now, right?
Mm.
So this aunt. Who's having a baby. They've got adopted daughter.
Yeah.
Chainsaw. Perfect family unit.
Stepdad Chainsaw.
this is my son, Chainsaw.
I think we're going to be largely positive about this movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
One thing I think is a real weakness is that the adult sisters begin to go down a path of an important conversation and growth between them. And then it's abandoned because it kind of has to be
by the nature of the story. Anymore. Yeah.
And I think that's just such a wasted opportunity. Mm. You have this big rift between them. that isn't really addressed properly.
Yeah.
And then the mum's possessed and that's it. She should have even, like, as possessed, had moments where she snapped back and they could have still had, like, that emotional conversation.
Right. But that's some not version the rules of it. Of the thing,
but that just doesn't work for this film.
Sort of. They do that in Evil Dead all the time. But usually it's just like,
they'll
snap back and be like, I'm so sorry. Actually, what we were saying, it happens in this as well, where, except it's the, she's talking to her daughter when she does it.
Where she's
like, I'm okay now.
And then
sometimes in movies, it's been like, Ash's girlfriend does it.
And it's the moment, that's the, when you catch your breath for a minute, the mum's like, I'm okay. They've subdued the sister. And then the aunt's gone, I'm going to solve the mystery. I'm going to listen to the rest of the tapes.
There's a
solution there.
Yeah.
And then after that point, you then get probably my second favorite shot in the whole film, which is where the, our heroes, what's the name of the other sister? There's Ellie and something else. I can't look it up. Beth. Beth listening to the CD, and we've seen the mum climb back into the room behind her.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And there's that shot of her looking out the window with the city in the background, and then she just stands up like she's amongst the building.
She rises.
Ah, I've got a heart on for movies.
That's a great shot. On your Cronin.
I'll tell you the part I really loved is when they were looking through the peephole and all those neighbours that we got introduced to that I kind of assumed – oh, they're going to become deadites. They're going to become threats, which, like, they kind of do. But we just get that great shot where she just fucking kills them all.
Yep. Yeah.
They didn't drag it out at all.
It was like,
peepholes these are dangerous. People don't matter.
I don't like peepholes.
Yeah.
Mm. I've got one at home.
Oh, okay.
And I think because of horror movies, I've never used it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to know what's
happening. Can I tell you something adjacent to that?
Yeah.
I was recently on a holiday overseas in a lovely villa, and in the villa was a peephole to look out when, like, cleaners were coming or room service or whatever.
Right, right.
And it was like, it would just hang down a little bit, and I would, walking past it, would deliberately look up just in case. I looked out that peephole, Sean, and I saw something I was not meant to see.
They shouldn't exist.
It's the same as when you have to, like, close a curtain at nighttime, and you're like, if it's like there's... like, so if you go in the room and the room's already dark, and you're like, oh, quickly just go close the curtain. And then you're like, what am I walking towards? What's
on
the
outside? Turn every light on. Turn every light on. Your mum could be outside and she could have a devil inside her.
That's so crazy because neither of these things even, like, haven't even considered the idea that, like, looking through a peephole randomly could be scary.
I'll tell you what it is for me. I've just gone back in time.
Yep.
You opened the egg.
It's because of the Phantom.
Oh!
You know what I'm talking about.
I know
about.
What you're talking about.
You've seen it.
I've seen it.
You know the little microscope bit? And the villain does a little trick and he's pissed off with the guy and goes, why don't you take a look at the results? And the guy looks into what is, to me, a peephole. It's not scientific at all.
No.
And he does the thing, he adjusts the focus and gets stabbed in the eye. Yeah. That's what I think a peephole is.
You know, The Phantom is a movie that I saw as a kid in the cinema. Too scared. Had
in
to
the
leave.
Cinema?
Had to leave.
That's so envious.
How old did that come out? 94?
96.
96. Okay. I was 5. But yeah, that's like one of the only movies that, like, as a kid, I don't know if I've told this story, but I used to be terrified of the cinema, like when I was a child,
Like the actual building.
Like, no, going to the movies. I liked movies, but I had to, like, pretty much wait outside until the actual movie started because when I was a child, they showed the wrong movie once.
Oh.
What was it?
Yeah, they showed The Devil's Advocate, which fucking rocks instead of Mouse Hunt.
Oh. How old are you, like 5 or 6?
Yeah. Probably younger than 5.
Can I say, Devil's Advocate starts off like hectic. How far in did it get before they went, this isn't an adorable mouse?
It was just the courtroom scene, but because it's all just like very aggressive adult language, because it's about like a molestation case.
Yeah. And you're like, when is the mouse coming?
Well, I was just like, all the kids in the cinema were like, and it was a pretty busy cinema, didn't know what was going on, but all the parents were freaking out, which was then stressing the kids out because they were like, why
Isn't
are
there
the kids
a scene like in the very like maybe 15 minutes where either Charlize Theron bites Keanu Reeves on the ass or the other way around through her clothes? Or
his clothes? I can't remember.
Is this the Pacino film?
Yeah.
The only thing we need to remember about that film is the line, they're in Pacino's character's house. It's just this big office and there's no bed in there. And they're like, man, where does he sleep? And those go, where does he fuck? And then Pacino walks in and just goes, everywhere! So good.
Give him an Oscar.
Devil's Advocate in hindsight fucking rocks, and they should have just kept playing it for
us. So they played the wrong movie or you went in the wrong cinema?
They played the wrong movie.
That's pretty fucked
up. Room full of kids.
It happens. The cinema I used to work at made the news because they played the Deadpool instead of Hop or something accidentally.
How does this happen?
So in the film age, like pre-digital, it's just loading up. Literally, like they.
Is it a mistake or is it a deliberate?
It was a mistake.
Is Tyler Durden actually working at that cinema, or is he splicing porn into Hop?
So with the Devil's Advocate one, it was just the projectionist had picked up the wrong film, and because it's dark up there, he didn't see the title of it on the thing and was just like, well, this is the film it's meant to be playing. Play the wrong one. With the Deadpool mistake, when it's digital films, we have to like, you make like a playlist.
It's the wrong USB.
Yeah, that's a much earlier step of the progress. It's also not a USB. It's a full on big.
He downloaded the wrong torrent.
Did I ever tell you about when I watched The Dark Knight when it came out?
Right.
The movie session started late.
Oh.
And so right towards the end, people started coming in for the next session.
Oh, no.
Literally came in and I heard people excitedly be like, oh, it's already started. Grab your seat.
Oh,
and it was like the bit where like Harvey Dent is on the ground, gone.
Oh, shit.
Like right
and
at
then,
the
and
end.
Then imagine seeing him like, oh, I'm so excited then, here. Our silent protector.
And there was lots of like, what the fuck? What? And then me and my friend just quietly were like, whoo, boy, and got out of there.
Catch.
But yeah, that's fucked.
Here's a rule for anyone going to the cinema. Don't rock up too early. Like the session time, the start time, that's the time you should be there.
But I think it's with this one because we sat in there for ages and it didn't start. And our theory was because I think at the time we were the only ones in there. We were like, oh, maybe they're trying to sell more tickets or something.
Right,
it just started late, so we thought maybe that had flowed on.
They still have to play the movie even if no one buys tickets because it fucks with the projector if you don't.
Someone walked into a screening of Toy Story 3 that I was watching, like walked in thinking it was the start of it and it's the end as they're going into that fire pit.
That's not the end of the movie.
Well, no, but they walked in like, what, last 15, 20 minutes?
Oh, that's
pretty early. Not early, but like,
it's like the start of the third act, basically. Yeah.
It's not that long left.
Anyway,
after that.
Tom. Yep.
Yeah. So anyway, what happened in this made-up story?
Came in, sat down. The movie's going for like 10 minutes and they get up and walked out. And then when we left the screening, they were sitting outside waiting to go back in. And I'm like, yeah, you guys, that's going to be fun.
Yeah, you fucked it.
Well, because I think what people...
That was just super early.
I think what happens sometimes is people are like, oh, we'll get in early and we'll just watch the end of whatever's playing before it, forgetting that
it's usually the movie
usually
you're about
the same
to see.
Movie. Because it's annoying to swap the movie between cinemas. Got a lot of cinema knowledge that I don't usually share. But
you quit. It's good stuff.
But the Deadpool thing, when you make, with digital films, you make a playlist for every movie, similar to how you'd make like a playlist on Spotify or whatever. And they just put the wrong movie in the playlist.
The track,
yeah. Right.
Instead of Hop, they put in Deadpool. How much Deadpool played?
It was just like the first 5 minutes.
Which is very funny because that's when he kills all those guys.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Because some movies it doesn't matter. So The Devil's Advocate, it didn't actually matter. What affected me more is because that's an R-rated film. It had R-rated trailers.
Yeah, okay.
Oh. So, like, you got
trailers
like,
for Devil's Advocate.
Yeah, so you got, like, Red Band trailers, I guess.
Yeah.
97, right?
It was like, I can't remember the movies, but I just remember one of the trailers was pretty violent and they said fuck. And I was like, whoa.
I think they say fuck really early in Devil's Advocate.
Too. Oh, yeah. But like, I remember the trailers being like more fucked. And yeah, like from that point onwards, because I think my mom was stressed that had happened, mixed with the fact that everyone was panicked. I then got like scared to go into the cinema in case it happened again.
Little baby Joel.
So I'd have to wait outside with the door open and like stick my head in. So if it's wrong, it's okay. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
Wait for the movie to start. But now you could probably project the JFK assassination. I'd be like, yeah, well, that wasn't what I paid money for, but this is fine.
How old were you, sorry?
Five.
Five. Okay. Wow. Yeah.
Because Phantoms. I think Phantom also would have added to it because it would have been the same year.
Mm.
And I was also like, this is too much for a 5 year old.
Little 5 year old soft boy Joel would die in Evil Dead Rise.
Oh my God. Can you imagine?
Like, be chewing glass. Most of the people in that hallway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Including the funniest death, the kid who chokes on an eyeball.
Yeah.
Oh, that is grotty.
And again, because they'd set up those kids as like, oh, they're like into the girl or whatever.
And she even has that little like smile to herself.
Yeah. And
like,
you're waiting for that to be like, oh, maybe they're going to like be heroes at some point.
No. Because also, they're not heroes, but also, she's not having a happy ending.
But like, and this is what I find so interesting about these movies, is like, there's really not a lot of hope going on.
No.
Like, you get a big win, you know, big sort of like, they get their catchphrase, they get to say something badass while they're holding a chainsaw. But the reality is, you can't stop the Deadites. Like, there's like nothing you can do.
Even if you put them in a wood chipper.
Right.
They will still come back and possess Jessica.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is a solution that's presented in Army of Darkness, but also not really. Like, there is a phrase you read from the Book of the Dead that kind of undoes it.
Okay.
But Ash fucks that up anyway, so it doesn't matter.
But also, they don't have access to that information.
Yeah.
Because the recording. Okay, Can we just go back to the Ash Bruce Campbell? I read in the credits, my IMDb detective work, priest Bruce Campbell.
Not the priest. The priest is the one reading it. Bruce Campbell is playing Ash, who the director likes to think got displaced in time, ended up in 1923 being like, don't fucking read from the book! Because there's an audio clip when they're listening to the record in this film, which is like the priest being like, now I'm going to read from the Book of the Dead, one of the three books, which references Army of Darkness as well.
Yeah.
And also ties all the Evil Dead films together because it means that the book and the reboot that looks different makes sense because that would be book two.
This has been updated.
Okay, IMDb detective.
I think you have to hand in your badge, mate. So, do you know where I read this fact?
Where?
IMDb.
Yeah, so
Tom, explain
on
yourself.
On IMDb, maybe I got tricked.
No, maybe you just made it up.
Hang Did you read it before the movie got released?
No.
Okay, well then, there was an out. You just slapped it out of my hand.
Hey, Sean. I'm just going out to eat. We've got a position opening. Do you think you'd be interested in picking up a badge and maybe becoming...
I think anyone could do it at this point.
I got betrayed. I didn't go to IMDb.
Well,
I went to
why did you do that?
On Letterboxd, it's listed as priest.
Not the Letterboxd detective. Mate.
Clearly.
You've let yourself down. You let the podcast down. Sean's in tears over there, mate.
he doesn't know what detective to court right now. Put you through it.
No. I don't think there'll be any need for that. He's now credited. IMDb is credited as dissenting.
Tom, give it up, mate.
So I like the idea that Lee Cronin put Bruce Campbell's voice in that because Bruce Campbell's character says, don't read. It's called the Book of the Dead for a reason. God damn it. And it is very, like, he doesn't change his voice at all. Like, it sounds like Ash.
Mm.
And then Lee Cronin coming out of me and like, yeah, I just like the idea that, like, Ash is, like, still fighting all these deadites and has somehow found himself back in 1923.
He's displaced again. Yeah, that's great.
What was that movie?
Yeah, the Raimis are like, all right, let's fucking go.
Well, this movie made, like, five times its budget back, if not more. It wasn't actually made for that much money. It was around a $10 million film.
Yeah. I can tell you.
It looks good for 10.
And it was almost going to go straight to streaming as well.
It was,
yeah. It was. Then it had...
Yeah, the Warner Brothers stuff was like really nervous times for them, wasn't it?
Yeah, that...
I think Cronin was on Twitter maybe or Instagram and he was like, fingers crossed it doesn't fucking happen to us. Because it was when the back... Is it Batgirl that got
Yeah,
killed?
The Batgirl stuff, yeah.
Even that you wanted to watch it on streaming, and then you're like, nah, this needed cinema. Like, yes, that's what it's about.
Yeah, I am a hero.
Yeah.
you want to hear some numbers? I'm trying to redeem myself.
It made 100. I can tell you it made 100. It's currently made 120 million.
Oh, we might have a little IMDb detective over here instead.
It's currently made 135 million off a $12 million budget.
What website's that on?
That's on IMDb.
Okay.
That's probably not been updated, though. Go to Box Office Mojo.
I'm not the Box Office Mojo detective, Sean.
Well, you never will be with that attitude.
I don't want to be.
Box Office Mojo, I go there like twice a week. Don't know why. None of it affects me.
I'll tell you why you do it, because you did it when you were a teenager. Am I correct? Because I did the same, and now every now and then I just linger back to it.
It doubled its budget in its opening weekend. It made back double its
budget.
And
now both Raimis and Bruce Campbell have put together an Evil Dead Bible kind of thing because they're like, yeah, there's no reason why this can't be a horror franchise. It just has a new entry every 3 or so years.
I love that.
That's good.
That's good.
And
stuff.
The fact that they've been like, here's some things you can work with. And then, like, Lee Cronin's just thrown Ash back in 1923. And also tired, because there's a scene in Army of Darkness where there's three books of the dead.
Yep.
And this references that, which ties everything together. It's all happening.
It's good shit.
And if they're at this quality...
Where's the third book, baby?
Well, maybe in a cabin in the woods if it's the 2013 one. But then also there's no reason why Mia can't come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, because obviously this does not tie up in any way any of the loose ends of
no,
2013
so,
one.
Because it's a different book.
Yeah, so it's a separate story entirely. But
which I like.
Yeah.
I didn't mind it, but like both that one and this one, you're like, shit's still at play. Like,
yeah, well, they might. So they were going to either do a sequel to Don't Breathe or a sequel to Evil Dead. And then
Alvarez.
They went ahead with Don't Breathe 2 only because that script was finished and they hadn't like latched onto Evil Dead stuff yet.
Right.
But then
Ash
Don't
v.
Breathe...
Evil Dead?
True. Yeah, Ash v. Evil Dead also happens, which was a separate thing again.
And Don't Breathe 2 didn't do so well?
Yeah. And then, because also Ash vs. Evil Dead was almost Evil Dead 4 for a little bit of Raimi making like a legacy sequel to his, which also could happen.
Yeah, right.
Bruce Campbell has been like, I'm too old for this shit, but Bruce, are you?
He's not.
No.
If Sam Raimi, here's the thing about Bruce Campbell. If Sam Raimi rang him, he says yes before Raimi's finished saying what he wants to do. He's like, hey, Bruce, it's Sam. Yeah, I'll do it. Okay. Yeah, he's happy to be publicly executed.
Well, that's what making another Evil Dead film will pretty much do.
Yeah.
But I really like this, and it's very clear Lee Cronin really loves the franchise.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I love the idea of Sam Raimi being like, yeah, let's go fucking just do it. Just do, as long as you're hitting the core beats, which are your point of view stuff,
right.
The rules of the thing is that you have to be possessed, die, and then come back. I love that too. I love the pattern of it. And it's so burned into the movie and into the franchise that when the daughter dies, you're like, well, she's coming back. Because that's how it works. They get possessed and they die. On the possession scene, sound design, I talked about briefly, Sean. And this is why we needed to see it in a cinema. When she's in the elevator and the growling is happening around her, in the cinema, it moved around her.
Oh, yeah.
And it started in like the far back corner and she turns around and I'm like, this is too much, man.
I hated it.
Too fucking much. I've never been scared of sound.
Yeah. I hated it, but I loved it. I love that kind of sound design. Yeah.
Evil Dead Rise, just quickly on
Box Office Mojo.
Made more money than Shazam 2.
Well, I mean,
no, as in like the profit margins, as in like
total.
It made more money at the box office than Shazam 2.
Nearly everything did. Though.
Yeah, it's getting close. It won't reach it, but it's pretty close to Scream.
Jesus,
it's like
that's massive.
25 million behind.
That's great.
Mm. It made like double what Cocaine Bear did, even though Cocaine Bear everyone was talking about
success as well.
Yeah.
Boys, we love it when a horror movie's winning.
Oh.
We don't because we have to watch more.
Yeah.
But we love it when a horror movie
It's
wins.
Pretty exciting because Warner Brothers...
Suck shit.
And clearly they've got stakes in the Evil Dead franchise now because they've been like, whoa, this made 10 times the budget.
Mm.
They are no doubt going to give it to someone and give them $50 million and then it's going to make like $30 million and then they're going to shoot the franchise in the head.
Yeah. And then Sam Raimi will come back and make it for $12.50. Well, it'll win an Oscar.
Maybe Raimi won't let that happen.
Yeah, I love the idea of them having this Bible though. Like at least if other people...
They'd have to sign off, right?
Yeah, but he's the producer, of course. Right?
But he's lost his rights to the movies before. Like, that's why Evil Dead 2 has the opening it does, because he didn't have rights to the Evil Dead. Mm. And Army of Darkness isn't referenced in Ash vs. Evil Dead because he didn't have rights to Army of Darkness.
Mm. Yeah, that sucks.
That's why for a brief period, that Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, and Ash vs. Evil Dead were on Stan, but Army of Darkness was on like Netflix or another streamer.
Right.
It was also really hard to get a box set of all three for ages because they were owned by different studios.
Anyway, sorry, damn it.
Oh, yeah, I was just saying, I love that they've got the Bible idea, because at least it'll stick to this continuing lore, this continuing vision of the series. And, yeah, like, I've only watched, obviously, the newest two, so I don't even know the original stuff. But they've both been very solid films, as much as they've grossed me the fuck out. But I think, yeah, continuing that trend and tying it all together with this Bible idea, I think that's fucking brilliant.
Boy, so I've had a brainwave.
Okay.
I'd like to pitch a sequel.
To which one?
To the Evil Dead franchise.
The whole franchise.
An addition to the franchise.
Okay.
We've seen it done before.
Mm.
Alien versus Predator.
Mm.
Freddy versus Jason. Godzilla versus Kong.
Okay.
What if?
All right, I will fight them.
What if Ash is fighting an Evil Dead and he needs an exorcist?
Oh, you know what? Yeah.
They exorcist
nicely.
Takes on the Evil Dead.
Yes, that's a pairing I
Big
would like
Rusty.
To see.
Rusty and Bruce.
He would slot in just fine.
On that Vespa, you've got a scene with the Oldsmobile and the Vespa running away from a point of view camera.
That's
send
good
that
shit.
Tweet to that producer.
I will.
Yeah.
So I thought you were going to say
Fast and Furious.
No, well, because you brought up
Dom Toretto's family get possessed. Yeah, he has to kill them all.
Can he outrace the dead?
Well, I thought you were going to say Freddy versus Jason versus Ash, and I was like, they've done that in the comic books, and apparently that movie got pretty close to happening.
Whoa! Jesus. Fuck it, hell.
Ash wins.
He
can't die.
He's been
close.
He's lost his hand.
His mind. He's been stuck in time. He fell asleep for too long.
Or he worked at S-Mart, maybe, depending on which timeline.
Correct.
Army of Darkness has three
Who does
different
the comics.
Dark Horse.
Oh, okay.
That makes sense.
Not part of the MCU, then.
No. Although...
Ash against Thanos.
No, but... there is Marvel Zombies versus Ash.
Oh, fuck.
So it is, a little bit.
Yeah.
A little tiny crossover.
Yeah,
he's
cracked
into everything, buddy.
And Bruce Campbell is in Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Boys, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Were we scared?
Yeah, 100%.
Yes. Yeah.
That bit I was just talking about. I was scared of that growling sound. I looked at Sean with terror in my heart.
Yeah.
And he didn't know what to do. He had no remedy for me.
There was a moment in this movie where I went, oh, like out loud. I saw this movie by myself as well, so the oh was to no one except me.
Just do it to you, yeah.
That was the grater on the leg.
Oh, yes.
Because as soon as they grab the grater, you're like, there's nothing I can do. I'm going to have to watch this right now.
The way she grabs the grater is fucked too, because it's just in her hand.
It's stuck to her hand.
Oh, yeah.
So one side of the grater is stuck to her hand, and the other side grates a leg. Mm. Also, when one of the kids eats the wine glass and you see
the glass poking out of her throat.
I caught up with some mates. We went out for a beer the other night and they were telling me they've got a little 2-year-old. It was his birthday. And they're like, it's been a big fucking weekend. They put him with the grandparents. Like, it's been a big weekend. It was his birthday. And so they'd done all this kid stuff. But what started the weekend off was they found him in the kitchen trying to eat a champagne glass. And I said, well, I just watched Evil Dead Rise. I think your kid's fucking possessed.
Yeah, if he dies, he's coming back bad.
Also, this kid, he's 2 years old. He's the densest kid you've ever seen. He weighs like a fucking, like, he could be made of concrete.
I thought you meant dumb.
Well, try a champagne glass.
I want to get him a t-shirt that just says dense because it's genuinely insane.
He's like a kid made of cannonballs.
Is he that kid that you see and you're like, oh, he's like a regular size kid, and then you see how much water he's displacing and you're like, oh my god, he's got so much mass.
You just like pick him up for a minute, like both of his parents have now got back issues because of this kid.
Man, don't have kids.
that's the lesson.
Don't get possessed.
Don't let them
Him, don't let them be possessed.
No glasses, no plastic glass. Cups only.
Yeah.
No density.
No, none at all.
No cannonball
babies.
Have
the most buoyant baby you can get.
Have your baby out of helium.
But yeah, that glass, and when it pokes through the throat.
Yeah. Because at first you just get like a bit of blood coming out of her mouth and you're like, okay, that's pretty standard for a horror movie.
Right. No, the sound is gross.
Yeah, they like it's amped up. But then, even when they zoom in, there was part of me that's like the scaredy boy part. I was like, fucking hell, what are we watching? And there's a little voice now at the back of my head that goes, that's pretty good.
It's smart. You know what I mean?
Like there's that small level of appreciation is already starting to take root.
Yeah.
But it was also very grot.
That's fucked up.
Can I tell you some fun facts that I've just learned?
Yeah. He's trying to make up for it.
I'm trying to make up
for it. Sorry, mate. We've passed your job over to the bloody Mojo PI over here.
The Mojo Dojo over here.
Whoa! Oh, Mojo Dojo.
Where'd you get this from?
IMDb. Shot in chronological order.
Yeah, great. Does nothing for me.
What else? What are the facts you got,
come
mate?
On, dance.
So to get into character, Alyssa Sutherland took inspiration from Jim Carrey's performance as Stanley Ipkiss in The Mask.
I do like that, actually. That's a good great one. I like that. I love The Mask.
Warming up.
Thank you.
Are you going to hit us with the line at the end, the come get some, as a direct reference to the original Evil Dead?
No, I wouldn't
do
that.
He does fire him.
You got to be careful. Dojo Mojo over here. He's got
I know these movies like the back of my hand.
One of the trivia bits is released 40 years after the original.
That's shit trivia. You're getting to the, you're getting the bottom end, mate.
He had a third one and he's fucking panicked. Yeah.
His third one was... This directly lifts lines from Evil Dead 2, which was a heavy inspiration on production.
I thought you said you found one. Now you're scrolling through the whole thing.
I found those two, and you wanted the third
two
one.
Two was shit. What can is
I,
the third one?
Can I tell you what scared me the most about this movie? It was just because we'd watched the 2013 with you whatever year we did it. And that was probably the, because we just started, that was pretty early days, Scaredy Boys.
Yeah,
I think it was like in the first 10 episodes.
I think that was like... The first one, there was definitely ones that had scared me a lot.
It was the first, like, graphically.
But it was the one where I just, like, felt sick in that sense of, oh my God, I can't believe I'm watched, like, this is, yeah. I can't even put it into words because that's how I felt. And so going into this, the idea of, like, kind of what you were saying, like having to see it on the big screen, that's what I was most scared of, is like, I know I'm going to see Grot. Mm-hmm. When, like, I'm scared for me having to watch something grotty and disgusting, and I know it's going to happen at some point, and it definitely didn't reach the 2013 heights, let's call them. But there was still but because of that movie, I went in very just like nervous. As soon as it started, I was like shaken.
Yeah. But part of it too is that this franchise, there is no hope. And so that was another thing, like having to watch this on the cinema screen.
Yeah.
It's going to be grotty. It's going to just have fucked gore.
Yeah.
No hope. Didn't think it was going to have any characters I would like.
Yeah, and then it did.
Didn't think it was going to have any heart. And it did. So a few ticks, but yeah.
How much worse was it when you're like, fuck, they've made it so I like the characters? Oh,
yeah. I mean, it happens to us.
We looked at one another really early on and I was like, yeah, I like them all. Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah.
And it didn't even do like the... If you told me what this movie was and that the mum's possessed and stuff, I would have figured, oh, the mum's going to be like a bit shit, like a shit mum.
Right.
She's trying so hard.
She's trying really hard. Her kids love her. Yeah. And she's just trying to do the best she can. And in that spirit, it's so mean.
Everyone's trying to do the best for the most part, which actually brings us to our next question.
Yep.
Did our characters act wisely or foolishly?
The son's a stupid cunt and I hate him.
Problem,
this is the first time watching an Evil Dead movie where I'm like, oh yeah, that would happen to me. If I find records, I'm playing them.
Yeah, I guess the record is different to a book.
Even with the fucked book?
If I find records in a fucked book, I mean, I'm also
Bought the book.
Yeah.
He physically went out and purchased one, mate.
I also, if I found a fucked book, although the book in this is very fucked.
You've got to bleed on it for it to open.
Yeah. So probably not opening that because...
But you'd play the record, which is what you need. All you need to do.
I've got to say, I'd probably play the record as well.
Yeah.
Can I say who's really dumb?
Because you got to know, don't you?
Them recording the fucking record. By the third record that she puts on by herself, they're like, oh, it's real bad. Man, we read it out loud.
Do not play that record.
Right.
This is the third record in the series.
Like, fucking hell. Listen to Ash, you dumb old cunts.
They're all idiots.
Yeah.
I guess the only one that is an idiot, like out of the cool group who are facing this,
right,
it's the son who makes the big mistake.
Yeah.
I think everyone else does pretty well, but they make a couple of mistakes, like leaving the youngest daughter unsupervised in that little beat where she gets tripped by the mum to opening the door.
Yeah.
While L is in hell. That's the line she says.
right.
While she doesn't get in, it just, if you have eyes on the youngest at all times.
Yeah. They're a liability at this point.
Yeah.
Bad parenting from the aunt.
Yeah, well, she's not a parent.
Not a good mum.
Yeah. She doesn't know what she's doing.
She's going to make a terrible mum.
Thought we were going to get a throwback to the 2013 one, the moment a shower came into play, and I was like...
I'm very glad we did. Oh, that was one of the worst scenes for me in that previous
But also, even, like, I thought it was going to happen when the water started boiling as she was screaming. I'm like, she's going to drop in and come out all burnt, and she just came out fucked up.
Yeah.
It was still bad. Like, she still is wrong, and I don't like it at all. She doesn't do anything wrong either.
The smile the mum has is great. Like, you saying the mask, I actually found pretty interesting because there is, like, I guess it's Evil Dead, like that cartoonishness too.
Yeah.
But the cartoonishness that's also still
horrifying
and fucked up.
Her smile was creepier than any of the smiles in the movie Smile.
Yeah.
That's true.
Oh, that's a great call. Yes, that's a great call.
Her smile isn't her. And that's when she does that awful smile when she's like, mummy, and she's like, mummy's with the maggots now.
Yeah. Some of the lines
are like, they could be very silly.
Yeah, yeah.
They're just not. They're like unhinged and get under your skin.
Yeah.
Even the fact that too, when she calls her a groupie cunt, she doesn't say fucking, she says stinking.
Yeah.
It just seems like such a funny, like, ah, oh, you stinking son of a bitch. But it's just loaded with malice and death.
Yeah.
And then, of course, this is jumping back a bit, but the grossness of the family being that awful many.
Oh, yes.
We haven't even spoken about that.
That is so good. The idea that they all come back together.
Deadite Rat King.
They're laughing, doing that crazy head thing where they're all kind of looking upside down, laughing at them as they're trying to get in the lift.
They also do the thing where you see like the sort of sketch of it in the book.
Yep.
You see shadows, you see a silhouette. You don't see it for so long. You're like, oh, I don't want to see this fucking disgusting
mess. Then you see it and you're like, oh no.
Yeah.
And then it gets put in a shredder and that's good.
That's some good stuff. That's just cool.
Sean looks like he's having PTSD.
It's really disgusting. I didn't want to watch it on the big screen and now I'm angry again that my two friends made me.
Can I share your fact about how disgusting it is?
No.
6,500 liters of fake blood.
Yeah, I wonder how much there was in the first one, because I bet you there was like triple.
They couldn't. There was no one keeping records of it.
Yeah.
Some of it was real.
The first one would be a record for blood, I reckon.
No, I reckon 2013 would have more.
That's what I mean. Sorry, 2013.
Sorry, when you were saying first one, I thought
you're
meant,
right.
It's a confusing franchise.
Do you mean the fourth one, Sean? No,
yeah, the
Evil Dead.
Yeah, the 2013 one, just because of that like end scene.
Yeah.
Where it literally rains blood.
Although there's a lot of blood in that lift.
Yeah, the lift thing adds a fair amount.
I love to.
I'm not a big fan of the Shining reference.
No, you don't like that.
No. I dug it when it hit the ground, and I was like, "Oh no, it's going to happen here."
Yeah, I think in the moment that it happened, I was like. But now on reflection, I'm like...
I like the blood filling up the buttons. I thought that was that's cool. fine little ad. Yeah.
Everything that happens in the elevator is really cool.
Yeah. Again, and they're like such a small... I guess like the cabin is pretty similar. Like such a small location. Weaponize it. Some of the shots in this are fucking fantastic. Yeah. You forget that you've got a hallway and a house, an apartment, and that's it because it feels so much like bigger.
The earthquake is just a great little... Just throw that in there. Because we know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So the minute that earthquake happens, you're like, oh, I can't get cell reception. You're like, ah, fuck.
How many gallons was it in this one?
So it's...
I think he said 6,000.
6,500 litres, which is the equivalent of... I've got the gallons right here. Oh, my God. Why am I under so much pressure?
It's because your job's on the line.
Redemption.
1,720 gallons.
1,720 gallons?
Yep.
Evil Dead 2013, 70,000 gallons.
Whoa!
It holds the record for most amount of fake blood
that
in a movie.
That is unreal.
That's what I said, I think.
Yeah. Sean, you're a genius.
You had to lift.
You know what, Sean? Sometimes apprentices, in order to be really good, they've got to go past their masters.
Yeah, that's already happened.
You should do what Sith do and kill him. So 50,000 is used in the closing scene of Evil Dead 2013.
Oh, shit. Yeah. They used all the world's resources. There's no more fake blood in the world. Oh,
imagine there was a fake blood shortage in movies because of that movie.
Fake blood went on strike. We got no more blood.
All right, boys. What would we do in this situation?
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Dumb fuck over here plays the record.
Yeah, we already know who's playing the record. Yeah, end off. Is that
that's
the
it.
Okay.
I don't know what else.
The only thing that would stop me is I probably don't crawl into the hole.
No, here's the thing.
I'd probably go in the hole.
Yeah, you do.
Go in the
hole. I don't know if you would.
You know who goes in the hole? 30 seconds of courage over here.
I just got to know.
Yeah. I think once he went down, you might
then. If I realised that there was a bank vault down there, I'm going down.
Can I say, if we all realised there was a bank vault down there, we're all going in.
You got to suss that
out. It's a cost of living crisis, guys.
The kids are scared because they're kids. But me as an adult, I'm like,
money?
I'll suss it out if I can't get back up.
Maybe there's some Nazi gold.
I'm thinking about aftershocks. I'm not going underground when there's just been an earthquake.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But
I think what I'm doing is staking out the car park and making sure that anyone comes in, we bash them. So that we have first crack when things calm down.
I think the issue is that it gets red.
Yeah.
And I know what happens. Dusha, you haven't been possessed. You've played it. You two are doing something. I've gone to get the HSPs that we've ordered.
Oh.
I open the door, bang.
Elevator.
I get HSP'd into oblivion. I come back in and I'm like.
You become a walking HSP, my friend.
I come back in.
We might be okay because we'd probably just hit Tom with bats or something anyway.
Can't we just kill him and leave?
No, I can't die.
Well, how does he die, though?
Deadites.
No, but like they kill the sister and then like tie her up to the point where she's out of action for a little while.
They even shred them, but they're still out there.
Mm.
Is it that bit's like you can't kill them.
Can't you cut them up?
It depends on the book. In the original trilogy, if you behead them, they usually, like, their head might come back to life.
I'll cut him up.
Yeah, easy. Won't even feel bad about it. I'll do it now.
Sean, I'll stitch
come
him
here.
With some, you're not even possessed. Maybe you win then.
I think we can cut him up and give ourselves long enough to just leave.
Yeah.
I reckon Tom walks in and you're like, where's the fucking HSP? And then you just start cutting him up anyway.
I'm the HSP.
Wow. Dinner is served.
But yeah, great movie. I'm excited to see more.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it too in the way that you can enjoy the craft of someone having made something good.
Yeah.
But it was disgusting and I don't know.
You got
teased
with storylines you cared about and they get no resolution.
Yeah, I'm really stuck on the two sisters. If they'd done something nice there, that's a very good movie.
She becomes her sister looking after her youngest kid.
Becomes her mother.
What? No, as in Beth becomes her sister, Elle. Like she becomes the surrogate Elle.
Yeah, I guess.
Because Elle is in hell.
Not enough for me.
waiting for you and your unborn bastard child.
Mm. Not enough for me. And like I said, youngest kid probably should have died.
That's why
she had Staphany.
Yeah, that's the back over there.
She was never going to lose with it with Staphany on her side.
Yeah, stabbed her sister directly through the head.
Yeah. Didn't stop her.
Surely
did
that not. Earned her a win.
She's seen some shit. That's all I'll say.
Okay.
She's seen too much. No one should have to see that much.
Yeah, do you think...
Like, her head's not big enough. There's not a big enough egg in that head.
Are you worried about the head to eggs ratio?
Yeah, I think at a certain age, the head slash egg is not big enough.
So if she'd had a bigger head, you would have been like, nah, she'll be right.
I wish she was a kid with the biggest head in the world. Then she could have seen it all.
She needs to be my kid's dead son who could just shove anything in. Like, it's so dense, you can just keep packing it.
So actually, you need a dense kid to load all the bad shit into.
It's where density comes in handy.
Yeah, it's a
that load. Or Hey Arnold.
Have dense kids.
Have dense kids.
Hey Arnold. Yep. He could visit every haunted place in the world.
Yep. Old football head. He'll fit like four eggs in his head. He'll be
so
right.
So if his apartment is the one in Evil Dead Rise, and Grandpa gets possessed, he's fine.
Yeah,
I reckon Arnold would crack open when he's like 100 years old.
And then all of, like, Pandora's box, all of those awful things come flooding out of his head.
How many seasons of Arnold were there? I hope that his head got slightly bigger every year.
Like every
four,
season.
Maybe just expands.
Four in a movie?
Head full of ghosts.
Four in a movie?
There's definitely a Hey Arnold movie.
Yeah.
It's called Hey Arnold the movie.
That makes sense.
It's called Hey Arnold Rise.
Yeah.
I reckon you've got to be a very specific age to know what the fuck Arnold is.
What this is, yeah.
Five seasons.
There you go. And a movie called Hey Arnold the movie.
I hope you're looking on Box Office Mojo. That's the only website you're allowed to use.
Yeah, you're in the Mojo Dojo. I'm the IMDb detective.
Hey Arnold the movie.
Oh. How'd it do?
All right.
He's still got it.
Made $15.2 million off a budget of $2
million. Oy!
Box office success, sort of. $15 million's not much money, but it didn't cost much, so they're laughing.
They're having a great time.
Big head.
Well, that is all the scary talk we have for this episode. I've been Damien.
I've been Sean.
I've been Tom.
And I've been Joel. Thanks so much for having me.
Joel, it's an absolute pleasure to have you. Thanks so much.
Anytime. Especially anytime there's a fucked up horror movie out that you...
Well, like, we're definitely going to have you on, what was it, every 2 years, apparently?
Yeah, 2 to 3 years, apparently.
Fuck
it. We've got to do the OGs.
Yes, we do have to do the OGs, because I need to...
Not with you, just
fill it out.
We'll do them with someone else.
And that's all right. I'll just watch them and have a good time.
And if you Skeddy listeners like our show would like to help us out, you can. It's very easy. You can just head over to patreon.com/Skeddy Boys, where for just $5 a month, you can get access to all our bonus episodes, including one of the former IMDb detectives.
I'm still here.
Oh, okay. Let me. Okay.
That's the Box Office Mojo Dojo.
We've got to figure out a Dojo Mojo bonus episode. Four. That Dushan can come in and dominate.
I don't even know how that episode works.
I think I'd be really good at it. It'd be him, like, feeding us.
Just enter the dojo.
What did this movie make? Or where, you know, where did
this
rank?
Yeah, just like, hey, what was the top 10 movies of.
Oh, yeah, I love it already.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hang on, I love that you're like. What is the top 10 movies of Trails Off? Oh, yeah.
I love it already. Oh, yeah. Like, hey, tell me what the highest grossing films of the box office were, the top 10, in like 2012.
Well, that's easy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, is it?
Yep.
Well, Avengers. You better be ready to enter the fucking dojo, mate.
Yeah.
What was the number 12 ranked movie from last year, Tom?
The Avengers.
Top Gun Maverick, I would say.
Oh.
Was it 12? 11th or 12th.
Okay.
No, sorry, 11th or 12th all time.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's going to be like...
Last year, number
one.
Number two. Technically. Yeah. Avatar, even though it carries over. Sorry, this is going into box office chat.
Yeah. Very well.
We're trying That's to wrap
little,
up an ep.
A little teaser for the end
for
the dojo.
Box office chat, end of the dojo.
So if you want to join in on that, go to patreon.com/scaredyboys. Or you can send us an email at 3scaredboys@gmail.com. Or you can find us on Instagram at Skeddy Boys Podcast or on Twitter at Skeddy Boys. Or individually, I'm at Midday Pajamas.
I'm at Carney from 55.
I'm at Awkward Trade.
And I'm at Douche 13.
Oh.
And I'm coming for your fucking job, cunt.
Stay scared, everyone.
Keep Dwayne Johnson away from anything I like, please.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.